shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and people listen far and wide, and we're very happy to be here with you, and by God, it's just a kick, man. I can tell you that right now. We do have with us Quinn Collins from the Democratic National Convention. He's going to be on the air with us very, very shortly. Want to mention that we have debuting tomorrow on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, the ever so best of Bobby Dooley. A longtime featured guest of ours, Ms. Dooley, has now downloads at our website in our shop available to you. And it's funny, I ought to know this about my own website, but are they individual or not, bud?
Well, we said that, yeah.
Yeah, I know we said that. But I've asked this in a number of meetings. Do you download the entire best of, or are they individual?
I think there's some on the old one.
What old one?
The one from Miami.
I'm not talking about Miami. See, this is the... Never mind, it's okay. You guys just don't have any answers for me. So I guess just show up in our shop tomorrow, folks, and you'll see whether we have individual. In other words, it's going to be collected about 10 or 11 cuts of the best of Bobby Dooley in our shop tomorrow. And get a backstage pass. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can listen to all of the material in our archive, the largest archive of any radio show anywhere, period, exclamation point. We also have a nightly video cast that you can watch and be a part of. And other features like that. So check it out. We also have the Milwaukee Lions podcast archive. This is a whole new thing, and it's basically a series of football games with Jack Igagdor and Brett Moore. I can't describe them other than to say that they're very vulgar and very exciting. It's exciting and it's vulgar. The only other thing you can say that about is porn, you know?
Yeah, about a porn movie.
But this isn't porn. It's football. 877-876-7445 is a number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. With us is Quinn Collins from the Democratic National Convention. Quinn, you do a weekly newspaper in Charlotte?
Well, we do, Phil. We do a weekly newspaper here in Charlotte as well as in Atlanta, and we are definitely a left-leaning rag, as they like to call us.
Okay, so are you?
I'm sorry?
Are you a left-leaning rag?
We're a progressive newspaper, Phil. We're a progressive weekly, a progressive liberal weekly, if you want to call us that. But I wouldn't say that we're a... I wouldn't call us a rag, that's for sure.
What is the difference between progressive, liberal, and left-leaning?
Well, I think when people say left-leaning, I think they often are indicating something more radical, perhaps along a extreme socialism to communism. And I'm sure that there are a great many people on the right in this country who would love to be able to paint us with that broad brush, and do, you know, very often. But it's not my reputation I'm worried about. It's the reputation of this president and this administration that we're looking to protect here this week in Charlotte and during the campaign. And we will, too.
Do you think President Obama will be reelected?
No question in my mind he'll be reelected, because the country right now is not clear as to who Mitt Romney is. Even his own party doesn't know who he is. His own party can't figure out whether he is a Republican or a moderate Republican. Is he a Democrat in Republican's clothing? Romney Care has got them all confused.
Well, why would they nominate a guy and throw their support behind a guy who they consider to be, a lot of them do, and I know what you're saying there, Quinn, a lot of them consider him to be, you know, a very, very liberal version of a Republican?
That's the $64,000 question. No one seems to be able to answer that. You can ask a Republican, and they'll change the subject. I don't know what the answer. I could speculate, but why they would nominate Mitt Romney when they know that he had this Romney Care, when they know that he's had this sort of waffling position on woman's right to choose? Why they would, you know, nominate a Mitt Romney when they know he's had a bit of a waffling position on you know, the health care issue, as we mentioned, and other issues, and I don't know what the answer is. And if you ask the Republicans, they don't know what the answer is.
And, well, what would you speculate?
Well, if you ask me to speculate why they nominated Mitt Romney, it's because they don't have anybody better. That's all I can possibly bring out of the situation. I don't think the Republican Party has been more confused He goes, you can go up to anybody in the Republican Party, as I did last week, you know, when I was in Tampa, and we were doing a series of blogs and doing some radio appearances down there. And you could ask them, well, why are you nominating Mitt Romney? Why did they decide to go with Mitt Romney? And you just get a stare.
And well, what is the strategy?
What's
the strategy of the Republican national leadership then in nominating Mitt Romney?
I mean, that's a very good question. You know,
can you take a guess or?
The guess would be that they don't have anyone that they would comfortably call a Republican that they would nominate that could get elected. I think that there is no one else in the Republican Party that can get elected.
What is the point of electing a Republican if you're not comfortable with his views?
Well, I think, I can only speculate, Bill, because, you know, even though I spent a week in Tampa and I've talked to Democrats about this for a long time, I can't claim to understand the mindset of the conservative thinker in America. I don't claim to have any divine aptitude or otherwise for the Republican or conservative mindset in this country. I can only tell you that they did nominate Mitt Romney. I think they wanted a Republican they felt would win. If you ask me, what are they going to do if Romney wins? The answer is he's not going to win. And
well, I mean, like we, you know, we have to. I know that nobody likes to deal in hypotheticals, and I'm one of them. However, when we are doing a talk show, we talk, and part of talk is speculation, and we must engage in these hypotheticals. So what, let's just say Mitt Romney won. Let's just say that things,
Let's talk about the universe standing on its head, okay?
Yeah, the universe has stood on its head, Mitt Romney wins.
All right. And what is your question?
My question is, if the Republicans don't have confidence in Mitt Romney, don't think that he is a bona fide conservative, don't even think he may be a bona fide Republican, what do they think is going to happen when he becomes president?
Bill, I honestly believe that Mitt Romney being nominated by the Republican Party is the best possible option for the Republican Party. And I think that it's worth it to the Republican national leadership, and I think they've sold this to Republicans nationally, that it's better to hold your breath and hope for the best with Mitt Romney than to just concede the election entirely.
And so you're telling me...
And that's what I think they've done.
So you're telling me that the Republicans nominated Mitt Romney rather than just concede? So they had nobody. And I mean they had nobody.
Look at the field that they had. There was not one individual that they had running that not only still was going to be elected president of the United States, but there was not one individual that had a national following to the extent that they would gather any significant number of votes. I think. And
I mean, you could run John McCain again, couldn't you? You know.
Well, I suppose they could have, yeah. But then you just run the risk of conceding to being. Sort of a national joke. I think in this way, at least there's a veneer of, you're asking me to tell you, you're asking me to interpret the mindset of the opposition here, Phil, and that's not my forte, if you will. I mean, I can speculate. I don't think it takes much to analyze the Republicans. I think the fact that they're a minority party and have been for many, many decades goes a long way toward telling you who represents the American people, and there's no question about it. The Democratic Party has for a long time. And
what do you make of the conversation, by the way? We're talking to Quinn Collins here from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's been at the Democratic National Convention. What do you make of the speculation, what do you make of the conversation recently of people talking about the early days, the founding days of Democratic and Republican, the two parties, and the Democrats were the slave party, and the Republicans were the abolition party?
Well, I think I really question whether that's entirely true. I know that there are a great many Democrats that supported slavery, but I wouldn't say that the Republicans were the party that was against slavery. I would say there was Democrats and Republicans against slavery.
That's not true.
Well, it doesn't really. Here's the thing. When you get into that kind of history, Phil, and this was something I learned very early on from a political science teacher of mine, there are not a lot of people that are educated on history. So, I don't need to talk to you about whether Democrats or Republicans oppose slavery because, look, let's face it, I can tell you right now, Democrats oppose slavery. There's not a whole lot of people who are going to be able to argue with me about that.
Yeah, but I can argue with you about it.
No, I understand that you can, but other than you, there's not a lot of people who are going to argue with me on that because they just don't know. And I've told our national leadership...
Yeah, but that's dishonest.
Well, hold on for a minute now. I've told our national leadership, if you want an argument you can win, talk about, keep the argument on, keep the discussion on the founding of the Democratic and Republican parties. Because you can tell people that Republicans were the slavery party, and people are going to believe it.
Yeah, but that is dishonest.
It may be dishonest, but it is not the kind of dishonesty that I think is immoral, because in this instance, the person who believes that the Democratic Party was not a slave party, that individual really can only blame themselves, you see, for being uninformed.
All right, Quinn Collins from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our number 877-876-7445 as we continue to talk here about the politics of, our nation's politics. The Republican Convention last week, the Democratic Convention this week, and of course, a national presidential election in November. 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back after these few messages.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back here with Quinn Collins, our number 877-876-7445, and we're talking about the Democratic National Convention, the Democratic Party, the presidential race that is about to commence in earnest here, the home stretch, if you will, Quinn. By the way, I want to get back to this discussion about the Republicans not knowing why they nominated Mitt Romney, but I was talking with Larry Grover, who is not going to be on the air tonight, but he is a friend of ours who's a very staunch conservative, and he agrees with you.
Well, I think you have to agree with me. I think the Republicans who know, what the process is, understand that they have no real conception as to why they nominated Mitt Romney, other than the fact that he's the most electable guy. He is not, philosophically, he doesn't seem to represent their party as it has been presented to the American people. The American people now see a party that is primarily the face of the Republican Party is the Tea Party. That's the face of the Republican Party. Who knows how many Tea Party people there are? But the face of the Republican Party now, Phil, is an extreme, elderly, a little kind of, forgive me for saying, sort of cuckoo looking.
What do you say, elderly?
Well, I think because when you look at the Tea Party, it's an elderly...
Do they really? I mean, I've seen an awful lot of... I don't know, but I mean, to me, it looks like there's a lot of young people there.
Well, there might be a lot of young people, but I think what happens is the Tea Party, because of its rather sort of cuckoo... I keep using this word cuckoo because they're not extremists. I don't think they're that scary, but they look to be just like the neighbors who have that really weird barbecue, and those are the kind of people that sort of look old anyway. They look like just a bunch of old people having fun for the first time now that the kids have moved out of the house, and they don't have to babysit their grandkids anymore, and they've got a hold of their RV, and they look like a lot of old folks that are on a big RV vacation, or a bunch of old people going to Burning Man or something. And I'm not trying to make a joke here.
Burning Man.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to make a joke here, but the point is that the Republican Party, its most active members, the people who everybody looks at and says, well, I think those are that's the face of the Republican conservative party, the conservative people, are real cuckoo-looking people. And the Republican leadership knew that they're not going to elect a candidate based upon that look. So the best thing they could do is to find the most electable guy and the most commercially appealing guy, and that's Mitt Romney. So it doesn't surprise me at all that your friend agrees with me, because that's what's that's what we see.
All right, let's talk about President Obama and the fact that of the speakers at this convention, a majority of them, 19 so far today, have never mentioned jobs.
And what is your question?
Why? Why are they avoiding the issue of jobs?
I don't think you have to even mention jobs, because I don't think that's an issue. I think that jobs are, I don't think the job situation is as bad as people say. I think Republicans want you to think there's a job problem. But I think that the job situation in America is nowhere near as bad as people want you to believe. You know.
Well, we've got, let's take a look at the unemployment numbers.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. Can I just say one thing? No,
okay, go ahead.
I know what you're going to say. It's over 8%, and I agree. But let me ask you a question now. Do you know anybody that's unemployed?
I work in the broadcasting business. That's kind of a crazy question.
Well, no, it's not. Do you know anybody that's unemployed?
I mean, on any given day, I suppose. Yeah, I know a couple people that are unemployed.
You know a couple of people that are employed in the broadcasting business. In one of the most volatile industries there are, the broadcasting business, and you only know a couple people that are unemployed.
But like I said, it's not really a typical business.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I will tell you, I don't know anyone that's out of a job. And I think if you ask the average person, who do you know personally, that's out of a job, I think you'd probably get a dishonest answer, or if they told you the truth, they'd tell you, you know what, I don't know anybody.
You're telling me that with American unemployment at 8%, that the people are not going to answer honestly, I know people that are out of work.
I don't think that, I'm telling you right now, Phil, that 8% number represents some kind of a manipulation of the numbers that I can't fathom, because I don't think, if you talk about unemployment being, name me one person that's out of a job.
I don't want to name, I know a couple of people.
You can't give me their names.
Of course I'm not going to give you their names on the air.
Well, why? Okay, because they're in the broadcasting business, why wouldn't you?
I'm not going to give you their names on the air, but I...
Well, you said you only know two.
I know two people that are out of work in the broadcasting business, yeah.
All right. I don't know anybody in any walk of life that's out of work. And I don't think the American people, the majority of them, now I'm challenging them, but I'm telling you right now, I think people have got themselves talked into the belief that they know people that are out of work. I don't think the American people, if you were to poll them one person at a time, one man at a time, one woman at a time, they would tell you that they know anybody that's out of work. I think that's been drummed into their heads by a litany and a repetitive drumbeat of Republican politicians trying to, you know, hang that around Obama's neck here before the election. And as they say in the business, that dog isn't going to hunt. So
how do we get to 8% unemployment?
I don't know, Phil, but I'm just telling you that we have a much bigger population now, a bigger working force now, and 8% may be what the old 2% was. You know what I mean? See, if you told me that there's 8% unemployment, that might not be as bad as it sounds. And I think that's something that the American people need to understand. And
how could 8%, it's still 8%. If it's 8% of 100, if it's 8% of 1,000, if it's 8% of 1 million or 50 million or 100 million, it still represents a significant number of people relative to the whole, you know?
Yeah, but you see, I can listen to the way you're explaining that. You're not too confident in your own explanation, see?
No, I am. I am. I'm not a mathematician. But I do know that if I take a dollar, let's take a dollar bill, and I take 10% from that dollar, I got 90 cents.
All right, okay. But if you take 10% from $1 million, you've taken 10% from $1 million, how much have you taken?
10 million.
You still got $90 million. My friend, you are a rich man regardless of that $10 million. You understand what I'm saying? So it means now that 8% doesn't mean what it means what it means 30, 40 years ago. And that's why I think people need to lighten up a little bit and understand that this unemployment that everybody is screaming about is really not affecting us all that much. Most people don't know anybody that's out of work.
All right, now hold on. I got to take a break here. We're going to come back with Larry Grover is going to join us because I think we probably need Larry to respond to some of this. And Colin here from the Democratic National Convention, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil Larry. Go ahead, man. I got Quinn Collin on the line.
I've been listening to you, sir, and you've got a very interesting way of articulating your point of view. Well, if there's something I'm saying that you don't agree with, I'd love to know what it is. Well, yeah, there's a lot that you're saying that I don't agree with. Number one, you're saying that the Republican Party doesn't know why it nominated Mitt Romney. I don't think they do. I think what you've got with the Republican Party is a party that has, been baffled. But let me tell you how baffled we are, all right? First of all, Mitt Romney was nominated to be the Republican nominee, he was nominated to be the Republican nominee of the Republican Party. He is our nominee. I understand that, but Mr. Hendry and I were talking about what? Hold on, I'm not done yet. You and Mr. Hendry were talking about what?
We were talking about...
No, we were talking about why they nominated Mitt Romney. You're talking about why they nominated Mitt Romney, and I'll tell you why the Republican Party nominated Mitt Romney. They should have nominated Mitt Romney in 2008. That's number one, okay? They should have. Should have, could have, would have, you know. Hold on, I'm not done yet. Instead, they nominated a guy by the name of John McCain. I like John McCain. I like Sarah Palin better. And
do you think they should have nominated Sarah Palin?
Hold on, wait a second. And what was your question is what, Phil?
Do you think the Republicans, you being a Sarah Palin fan, should have nominated Sarah Palin?
I would have loved if they would have nominated Sarah Palin. I think Sarah Palin would be our next president of the United States. And the Republicans could have followed up what was admittedly a historic moment and a good moment for this country when President Obama, a black man, became president of the United States. But instead, and we would have followed it up with a woman, but instead the Republican Party went with Mitt Romney. Yeah, okay, so what you're saying, and this is Mr. Quinn again, okay? Yes, sir. All right. What you're saying, then, is that Mitt Romney is not the best candidate. No, I didn't say that. I said that I would have liked Sarah Palin.
But we're not answering the question here, guys, if I could get back to this. The question that Colin asked is, why? Why did they nominate Mitt Romney?
That's right. That's been my question. That was Phil's question. Yeah, and he was asking you. You're an admitted liberal. You're a Democrat. That is correct, sir, but I tried to answer the best way I could. All right. So
why don't you answer the question then, Larry?
All right, that's why I called, to answer the question. The reason why Mitt Romney was nominated to be the Republican Party candidate for the presidency of the United States is because he represents the conservative, the values. Now, you know that's not true, sir. They have a... Can I finish, please? He represents the... If you say it's not true, what do you mean? Because of Romney Care, because of all the things, because of his back and forth on abortion, on pro-choice or pro-life, all the things that I've been talking to Phil about here.
Yeah, I mean, really what we're saying here, Larry, is that Mitt Romney is not a classic Republican classic conservative, and that seems to be what the Republican Party wants right now.
In other words, what we're talking about here, sir, is that you guys are telling me what Republicans want. Is that it? One's a liberal, and you, Mr. Henry, some kind of a South Park independent.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, all right.
But I mean, look, here's what I'm asking. We don't want to tell you. We want to know from you. All right?
That's correct.
We want to know from you why Mitt Romney was nominated to be the Republican Party's choice for President of the United States.
I mean, I told Mr. Hunter I thought it was because y'all just want to win, you know. And hold on for a minute. Let me answer the question because I'm the Republican. I'm the conservative. That is correct, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Answer it.
All right, if you give me a chance. The reason why Mitt Romney was nominated to be the President of the United States by the Republican Party, and look at that, I just, God, hold on, I got to pull over, Phil. I'm driving, and I know that, Mr. Quinn, you're at the Democratic Convention, is that correct? I'm sorry, sir, say that again? Are you at the convention? Yes, sir, I am. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm here at the Democratic National Convention. Yes, sir. All right, I got to pull over, Phil.
What happened?
We spilled some coffee. I gotta get a rag or something. I got a young lady friend of mine here. Sandy, can you get out and get some towels? Don't touch. She's trying to dab it dry. I spilled hot coffee. I apologize, gentlemen. I spilled hot coffee right down the front of my pants here. We pulled into a gas station. We're going to get some towels. If you'll just please indulge me.
Well, while she's in getting the towels, can you tell us why?
Yeah, you can tell us why Mitt Romney was, unless you seem to indicate she was drying you off.
She was doing what?
Well, she was dabbing you off or something, and you said you laughed.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I thought it sounds to me like you much prefer her to dry off your pants than to answer our question.
Well, that was completely uncalled for.
All right, let's just forget it, okay?
But you were the one who mentioned that she had to dab you off.
That's correct.
And I did not intimate anything other than that, and I really resent that.
All right, we don't have to go down that road, Colin, if you don't mind.
All right, I don't mind at all, but I mean, I've been asking this question here. Hold on, I will answer your question. Just give me the towel. I'll touch myself. I spilled coffee, Phil.
I understand.
All right. And I don't touch. I just met the young lady. Hi. You're very. And I'm drying it off. I can do that. It sounds to me, Phil, I shouldn't talk. It sounds to me like he's out on a date with this young lady, and she offered to towel off his. Towel off that area there, and
you know what? You don't have any idea what it is you're talking about.
All right, but you said you spilled hot coffee, and then I heard you say, "Don't touch me there."
All right, can we not, use that as a new platform for the topic? I'd like to stay on the topic at hand.
Yeah, let's stay on the topic at hand, if you don't mind. Well, when you say at hand,
Hello. All right, well, we just lost our lines there for some reason. 877-876-7445. Well, what happened, bud?
Yeah, just, we lost the, they seemed like we lost the whole trunk cable. The trunk.
Yeah. What do you mean the trunk cable?
The big fat cable. Yeah, there's a big fat cable where all the phone lines go into. And when you lose that, then you're dead. You're dead meat.
The big fat cable that all the phone lines... 877-876-7445 on the line here with us is, or was.
The other thing, too.
All right, I think I've got them back. Who's this?
This is Larry Glover. Yeah, Phil, it's Colin Quinn here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Bud, would you make sure that we, maintain our connection to where it is that we are?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, we lost the phone there for just a moment.
Well, I'm back on the road now, and I apologize again. What happened was I was drinking coffee, and I spilled it down the front of myself, and the other comments made by Mr. Quinn were not appreciated. I'm sorry, sir. All I said was that you had said...
I think we know what he said, and I think we know that Larry is out with a young lady tonight.
Yeah. All right, but did you not say to her, don't touch me there?
No, I did not. And, Mr. Henry, if this is what the conversation is going to be, I'll go ahead and hang up.
No, let's get back to what we were talking about. And I haven't gotten an answer to the question, and I'd like an answer to the question. And the question is, why did the Republicans... All right, you know what? Let's move past that.
Bill, I don't think you should. I think it's a question this guy cannot answer.
I most certainly can answer it, sir.
Then please do, sir.
Then go ahead.
The reason why the Republican Party nominated Mitt Romney as their nominee, all right... And, you know what? I don't know that I want to tell you now because of that crack you made.
What are you talking about?
no. This guy's starving. He's trying to buy some time. No, I'm not buying any time at all. It doesn't appear to me as if I should answer a question posed to me by a man who made some comments that I thought were not nice. And
all right, look, I don't know what was said that offended you.
What was said that offended me is this man said that there's something wrong with me. I'm talking about you, Sandy. I'm sorry. If I don't let that...
Will you let that slide, please?
Hold on for a minute. Let it slide. That's what you should have let Sandy do, right? Is this one of your ways of saying Republicans don't get laid? Is that it? Well, if the shoe fits, sir.
All right, Larry, it seems to me you're avoiding the question and avoiding answering the question. I think the reason that you're doing that is because you can't answer the question. Republicans can't answer that question. They don't know why they nominated Mitt Romney.
Yes, sir, we absolutely do. Let me tell you something about why we nominated Mitt Romney, okay? You've been waiting here. All right. He's not Barack Obama. Is that good enough? No, that is not good enough, sir. That's a non-answer, as we call in a political game. That's a non-answer. To say that he's not Barack Obama, you don't even know the name of the president, is that it? Yes, I do, sir. To say that he's not Barack Obama. You know what? This is a disgrace. To get a guy...
Barack Obama.
That's it. Thank you, Phil. Barack Obama. To say he's not Barack Obama is not good enough. And that's the kind of non-answer Republicans have been given now for the last, 12 years, not 8 years, 12 years. Republicans have one non-answer after the next. You can't answer this, you can't answer that. So, what about you? What are you guys? What answers do you have? Okay? What answers do you have? Ask me a question. All right. What are you going to do to balance the budget? Balance the budget? We put out all kinds of ideas on how to balance the budget. One of them is don't be cutting taxes at a time when we do need to balance the budget. Okay? So you don't want more tax dollars...
Wait.
Now, hold on. He doesn't want more tax... You want more tax dollars to solve Washington's problem of not being able to know how to spend money. That's it.
Wait a second. Now, all of a sudden, you want to engage people in an argument and in a discussion, but when I asked you, why did you nominate Mitt Romney, you have no answer.
Well, we've moved on from that. Yeah, I think we have, Phil, because he can't answer that question. And yes, I can. You want me to answer it?
How many times do we want you to say, how many times have I said, yes, I do?
Say that again?
How many times have I said to you, yes, tell me why you nominated Mitt Romney, you Republicans, why did you nominate Mitt Romney to be the Republican, nominee?
You can't spit that one out, can you? Now, Phil just asked you the question. Can you answer the question? Yeah, I can answer it, but he was having a hard time spitting it out. The Republican nominee, it's tough, isn't it? All right. That's not what we're talking about here. Well, I know that, but I was making a joke about Phil not being able to say Republican nominee.
Okay, joke made. Response to joke has been registered. It was okay. I didn't laugh. I didn't hear Colin laugh. Now, you.
Oh, you and Colin are just teaming up here on the you guys are the comedy judges tonight, is that it? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, that's we are. Can you answer the question or can you not?
Well, what was the question? Forgive me. Boy, you talk about a guy stalling.
You are stalling, Larry.
No, what was the question? No, I'm not stalling.
Why did you nominate Mitt Romney?
You know what? I don't want to be.
Well, there we go. 877-876. What happened to Mr. Quinn?
The line, the trunk line.
Will you knock it off with this trunk line? I don't know what you're talking about. What is this, 1946? All of those lines, are they both coming in on the same line?
They're both coming in on the same fader.
So when we lose one, we lose them all?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know what? That's fine with me. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Show, we're shutting the phone lines down on this radio show, and I'll tell you why. It isn't because you guys are failing me. You guys in radio, you guys are fine. But you know what? I have to be honest with you, folks. I do a certain kind of a radio show, and if my radio show is on radio stations across the United States that have zero listeners, then there's no point. And, you know, to be honest with you, talk radio is so absolutely decrepit and just degenerate and so utterly bad. I don't know, a radio show like mine, which is a satire, doesn't even and hasn't belonged on talk radio stations for years. Years. Years and years and years, man. I mean, maybe it was a good idea back 10 years ago to put my show on a talk radio, and my show got nothing to do with each other. This is a comedy show. It's satire. And I've got the core of people who listen to conservative talk radio. The last thing they want to do is laugh at anything. I don't care if I'm alienating certain people. It doesn't make any difference to me, man. I have been out there working my ass off for years and years and years. And I look at one radio station after the next with programmers after the next with their thumb up their ass, not knowing how to deal with this show or manage this show or even have the show. You know, pull it off your station. I don't care. I don't do a talk show. This show at one time was a satire. Now, I'm not blaming the stations. The people that I'm blaming know who they are. And the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, man, was getting back into radio in 2007. I should have stayed the hell out. This industry is so odious, I don't even want to go to conventions where other industry people are. This industry is so odious that if they nominated me for the Radio Hall of Fame, I wouldn't show up. This industry is so odious that if they said, Phil, we want to give you an award somewhere, I wouldn't go. This industry is so foul and so odious and so lazy that it would take more money than they got, man. There's too much work that goes into a show like this for it to be handled like it's just any other radio show. And I'm just being honest with you. And when I break my ass morning, noon, and night, and I look at the mistakes I've made in my life, man, I blame myself 100%, you know. I got no choice. You know, I'm sitting here the other night, you know, we just said, hey, let's just be honest with the audience here. Let's do a Phil Honesty night. Jeez, you know what I had to do, man, is just turn every night into Phil Honesty night because the kind of stylized radio that I'm used to doing, it doesn't take a lot of support, but it does take a modicum of it. It takes somebody who is in charge of, let's say, for instance, affiliating your show, to take a slightly different view on how those things are done. Having said that, I'm not going to go into the business of it. I guess I'm venting to you guys because actually talking to my audience is far preferable than talking to any radio professionals. Who are the stupidest human beings probably afoot in America today. Some of the dumbest bastards the world has ever seen. And these guys are heading up companies that have been driven into bankruptcy. And I see these guys going out and making the same mistakes that were made by their predecessors. You know, screw it. I don't do conservative radio. I don't know what to tell you. I know that probably inflames and upsets a lot of traditional conservative radio listeners. I know Rush Limbaugh. I think he's a great guy. I don't agree with what he says. I don't give a damn about Glenn Beck. I don't care about Michael Savage. I could care less about any of those bastards. Not because I don't like them as people. It's just that kind of radio, I've heard it over and over and over again. Now, I know that we've got stations that are conservative stations, and they want to go with all conservative line. And my kind of radio, which is an entertainment kind of a vehicle, is not for talk radio, man. So, you know, what's happening now is most people are podcasting. That's probably what I ought to do. There's more money in podcasting than there is in this garbage can called radio. I don't want to be the cranky old guy on the radio, man, but that's what, you know, I guess that's what has happened here. And like I said, I've made a lot of mistakes. But, man, I never thought that I would ever be so stupid as to misjudge an industry that I'd given my whole life to, but the radio industry just doesn't exist anymore. And the kind of radio, let me explain to you guys what happens here at night. By the end of the night, I'm soaked in sweat. I'm doing three or four different character voices. I'm manipulating three or four different sound effect and sound sources, a lot of which what I'm saying doesn't make any sense at all to the average listener. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you what I do. And I know that what you do is far more involved, because probably the job you have has got something to do with saving people's lives, you know. But what I do is I do a lot of different character voices. I manipulate all these different sound sources. And by the end of the night, I am soaked in sweat and I am beat to death, tired. And then I come back and I do it the next night. And I do it the next night. And I do it the next night. And that's what I did for 20 years. Well, actually, about 16 or 17 years. Then I decided I would do a serious talk show. And I realized that was as boring as hell. I wanted to go back to this kind of radio show. And I went back to doing this kind of radio show. And this is the kind of...